to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host for today, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for Frank Gaffney. Joining me now is Kevin Freeman. He's a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy. He's the author of Game Plan: How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. He's also author of Secret Weapon: How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. Founder of GlobalEconomicWarfare.com and the upcoming host of Economic Warfare, which will be on The Blaze coming summer 2017. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kyle. It's good to be here.
So I want to get into a little bit more detail on this ransomware attack, WannaCry, affecting over 200,000 machines, a lot of people impacted, really across the globe. Some suggestion maybe North Korea is behind it. Is that a speculation that you put some stock into, Kevin, and why do you believe that?
Well, it's entirely plausible. Kaspersky Labs and Symantec have both pointed to the possibility that North Korea is involved. It looks like they're involved because the toolkits that were used were similar to those that were used to hack Sony. And North Korea may have been involved in the hacking of the SWIFT system that took $81 million away from Bangladesh and attempted to steal $1 billion. So it has all of the traits that it could be a North Korean operation, and that's very, very concerning.
Are the North Koreans interested in cyber warfare as a 21st century update to the old adage, you know, they rob banks because that's where the money is? I mean, is the internet just where the money is when it comes to this sort of attack?
We know two things about North Korea. One of them is they're desperately in need of hard currency. This is a nation that has been counterfeiting the U.S. dollar, $100 bills for decades. But we also know that they want a kill shot on the United States. That's why they've been developing nuclear weapons. That's why we can't let them get missiles that can reach the United States. That's why we're worried about EMP. So, yes, they need the money, and so they're going to the internet because that's where the money is. But number two, this is a potential kill shot on America, and they want to find it, and they want to, even if it means tearing down the world economy.
You know, we talk a lot on this program about the risk of nuclear weapons, and most especially about electromagnetic pulse and how that would be a kill shot on the United States. But talk to us about the economic kill shot. How could you use cyber warfare to get a kill shot on the U.S. economy?
Well, there are several means. One of them would be a cyber attack that took down the U.S. power grid. And while EMP is certainly a plausible and frightening scenario that it actually could work and take down our power grid, and we've got to defend against it, cyber means are also plausible. Ted Koppel wrote a book, Lights Out. So they could use the internet in the same way that the Iranians have tried with their Operation Cleaver when they tried to hack all of the major infrastructure of the country. So they could do it that way, but they could also do it just by collapsing our economy because we are so internet dependent. There are 200,000 computers that have been rendered useless from this ransomware because their files are encrypted in 150 countries. Just imagine if that were 2 million or 5 million. Just imagine the damage that would be if we don't have proper backups. You know, we don't have a national effort, which we need, to have an ability to protect, whether it would be from cyber storage that was guarded and protected or whatever. So much of our economy depends on this. You even have the example with banks where they could be hacked and you go in to find where the money is. It's all electronic and it doesn't exist anymore. And we can't find it. We don't even know that you have accounts there. These are very real concerns at the highest levels, and we don't have good answers for them yet.
It's kind of an inverse of the old view where the banks locked the money away. Now you're worried about the robbers locking you away from your money. And, of course, all computers are not created equal. So 200,000 computers, which may not be a massive number, if they're the right computers, the impact could be tremendous.
And some of our older infrastructure, for example, the transportation system, relies on these older computers with the older operating systems of Windows that have just never really been updated or patched because we can't bother with that. All it's doing is telling us the time schedules for airlines. Well, you could mess up the entire transportation system. You know, one snafu at United we've seen, and it grounds all their planes for an extended period. You have this happen across the board to all the major airlines. Just imagine the impact economically if all the airlines were shut down and it took weeks, if not months, to get back up.
Kevin, part of what you mentioned was the unwillingness to do the sort of updating and security consciousness that's necessary to protect ourselves and if we're in private industry, our companies. How does one go about making security consciousness economical? How do we convince the banks, the private companies, the stock market that this is something that affects their bottom line? And if they don't do it, it will affect their bottom line in a negative way. How do we go about convincing them of that?
Well, the good news is a lot of the industries have recognized this, and we did this whole exercise with Y2K, where we were worried that everything would shut down, the economy would collapse, and so forth. And so they did patches and consultants and all of the things necessary. And so you go to the banks, and they have very robust cyber capabilities. The problem is that they're protections are only as good as the weakest link. So you have one computer somewhere in the bank that has access to the entire network, and they happen to download a malware file, or they happen to click where they shouldn't click. And that has the potential to take down, you know, the banks are working on it. The major critical industries are working on it. The individuals, not so much.
One of the difficulties when it comes to cyber warfare is that a good defense only lasts for so long. How do we build in a cyber warfare capability that establishes some kind of deterrence? I mean, are we in a situation where the North Koreans can simply continue to pick at us until they hit pay dirt? How do we respond? How do we respond robustly in a way that suggests that state actors and non-state actors may not want to play around in this area?
Well, a couple of things. One is we need to get on a war footing. We need to realize we're in the midst of global economic war right now. And that's why, you know, that's my purpose in writing the books and the blog and the TV show Economic War Room is to prepare citizens. We're in a war now. And if you recall back, loose link lips sink ships. We have that same situation where you make a mistake on the computer and it could be translated 100,000 times over because of who you're connected to and people that trust you. And you know, it's like a pandemic. Once it's released out into the wild, you know, it has the potential to do enormous amounts of harm. Second thing is that we could make as a nation the intention that we're going to protect ourselves, like the moonshot, like Kennedy said, we're going to get to the moon. We could take, for example, Yucca Mountain and make it a mass storage facility for all of critical infrastructure and critical data. Third thing we could do is create a cyber castle doctrine where we allow if a company gets hacked, we release them to go back after the people who hacked them. And there's letters of mark and reprisal are mentioned in the Constitution. That's something that Congress could issue to very sophisticated companies when they see that they're being hacked, that they can go back and punish those who are hacking them. The problem is we don't really have a doctrine for how do we respond. When does it become an act of warfare and not just an act of criminal activity? Congress needs to step up and make clear how we're going to engage in this already existing war.
Kevin, a good point. And I think if the listeners of Secure Freedom Radio know anything, they know that we believe, along with you, that it's necessary to get on this war footing. And we encourage everyone to understand the ramifications of what's coming, especially in this economic space. Kevin, thank you so much for your time here on Secure Freedom Radio.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.